It's nearly 11:30 a.m. time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss. Really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, in which the focus will be horses, specifically horses rescued by our guest Melanie Bowles and her proud spirit horse sanctuary. First, though, as always, we're kicking off the show with an animal tune. Appropriately enough, this is the Friends of Dean Martinez with a song called All the Pretty Horses here on WMNF. This is the Friends of Dean Martinez with a piece called All the Pretty Horses, an animal tune of sorts as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa and streaming live on the internet via the station's website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the proof's in the pudding at our website, TalkingAnimals.net, where there's archives of all our past shows ever. And we're podcasting on iTunes, including all the programs we've done here on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world, or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition, once again, extends that tradition. I'm speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll have in a moment with our guest Melanie Bowles, co-founder with her husband Jim, a proud spirit horse sanctuary, which they started some 18 years ago, taking in one horse on 5 acres not far from here in Miyaka City. In the ensuing years, Proud Spirit relocated and evolved into a 320-acre facility in Mena, Arkansas, that's provided a safe, nurturing home for more than 150 abused, neglected, or unwanted horses, and counting. Melanie has written 2 books about the horses of Proud Spirit, the first of which was the basis for an Emmy-winning PBS special that first aired locally on WEDU. We'll find out more about Proud Spirit and her latest book, among other topics, when we speak with Melanie Bowles in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Right now, we're going to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. Of course, this is Jerry Seinfeld with a snippet of a relevant piece called Horses on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
I've tried horseback riding. I can't really do that. And they don't really give you the good horses when you're not good at it. I found that out. Guy says, what level rider would you say that you are? I go, I don't know, 0, nothing, whatever the system is. I can't do it. Is that clear enough for you? I'm going where the horse wants to go, okay? That's my level. Now, of course, they hear that, they start looking around. All right, is glue stick back yet? How about almost dead? Why don't you saddle him up? So I get on this U-shaped, lightning quick steed I got here. I had the only horse you could put your feet flat on the ground while you're riding him. I'm riding a hammock here. I'm looking up at my friends. I don't feel like we all got the same kind of horse.
All right, that's Jerry Seinfeld on today's edition of the Comedy Corner on Talking Animals here on WMNF. That was a piece of a piece called Horses, taken from his album, I'm Telling You, for the last time. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but most are now available as podcasts in iTunes. For example, our last show with media watchdog and author Karen Dawn We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace. We're looking for friends. How about you? There's also a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on our forthcoming guests, program news, and more. And, of course, remind you when the next show will air right here on WMNF. That's all found on TalkingAnimals.net. It's nearly time to meet today's guest, Melanie Bowles, so let me quickly outline a few important details about her. As I mentioned a moment ago, she and her husband Jim founded Proud Spirit Horse Sanctuary some 18 years ago, taking in one horse on 5 acres not far from here in Miyaka City. In the ensuing years, Proud Spirit has relocated and evolved into a 320-acre facility in Mena, Arkansas, that's provided a safe, nurturing home for more than 150 abused, neglected, or unwanted horses, and counting. Melanie has written 2 books about the horses at the sanctuary, the first of which, The Horses of Proud Spirit, was the basis for an Emmy-winning PBS special that first aired locally right here on WEDU, just down the road a piece. Her new book is Hoofprints, More Stories from Proud Spirit, against the backdrop of sort of more public and active discussion and media coverage as well. Various aspects of the equine world, there's a whole lot to address here, so with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf. Let's welcome Melanie Bowles to Talking Animals. Melanie, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome to Talking Animals. And when chatting with guests, I often sort of prefer not to start at the beginning of whatever their story might happen to be. It just often ends up being kind of more illuminating not to. But when it comes to becoming acquainted with Proud Spirit, we almost have to start with how you started and, of course, Sweet Cody.
Yeah, that was a pretty remarkable story. I did not grow up with horses and was never really horse crazy as a kid. Always loved animals, but my husband and I earned our living as firefighters, and the job, as you can imagine, was very stressful and exhausting, and in an attempt to simplify our lives, we decided to move out to the country. The home we bought, we were surrounded by horses, and I became intrigued, and Cody was my first horse.
And that's really sort of, I mean, take us even just a step or two further, if you could, because I just think it's, you know, really sort of how the whole amazing thing began.
Well, in my search for a horse, I encountered a lot of the abuse and neglect that a lot of horses endure. And as I said, I brought Cody home. She was my very first horse, and I really knew nothing about horses at that time. And I was definitely a novice, and Cody was not a good first horse for a novice. She was she had been mistreated most of her life, and she was deemed irascible, and many people told me she couldn't have been a worse match for me, but the advice I got was to get rid of her, and but I decided that this was not Cody's fault. This was the humans around her who were at fault, and I made a commitment to her to educate myself about horses and learn how to communicate with them. And thus began a really, really remarkable journey that changed my life and on a very profound level put in motion a purpose in life that I never would have dreamed would have happened. And it's all really directly related to her.
And Melanie, I know you've sort of written and spoken about this, but I mean, one of the many things I, you know, find fascinating and inspiring about this, and you sort of alluded to, is that you really, by your own account at least, didn't really know much about horses at all.
Oh,
when
I knew
you
nothing.
Stepped into this world. So what was that like? I mean, was there just some sort of instinct just pulling you towards horses generally, the Cody situation in particular, that sort of propelled you over what for many of us might be like, well, I'd love to help this horse, but I don't know the first thing about horses. I mean, you obviously kept going.
Well, things like this in life are sometimes very difficult to explain or describe. But how do you explain the connection you feel with an animal? And it went to another level with me. I think I looked in her eyes, and I don't know how to sum it up any more simply than I just looked in her eyes, and I was just bowled over by the fact that this was not her fault,
mm-hmm.
the humans around her. And this was the genesis of all this, the what motivated me to, as I said, educate myself about how to make things right for her.
Wow. Well, it just sounds like you just felt, hey, I have to do something. I have to act, whether or not I know how to proceed exactly. I'm just gonna.
Yeah, and I think also a little bit, there were some things going on in my life at that time. My father passed away, and I remember also thinking at that time, I was very, very close to my father, and when he passed away, I just remember thinking, what are we doing with our life here on Earth? I thought my father really lived life well,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean.
Sure.
And I think he had a very rewarding, enriching life and everyone around him, and he was a very selfless person. And so when he passed away, I think that that's kind of what inspired me to, you know, look back on my own life. I was young at the time. I mean, well, I'm still kind of young, but
sure.
But I was young, and I remember thinking, you know, what are we going to do with our time here on this earth?
Yeah.
Are we going to make things better, or are we going to spend our life trying to accumulate more stuff or whatever?
Mm-hmm. So it overlapped kind of a moment in your life where
it truly did.
Yeah, I mean, there was kind of maybe a search for purpose or meaning that just maybe it was a confluence of those factors.
Absolutely.
And let me just let our listeners know, this is Talking Animals on WMNF. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Melanie Bowles, co-founder of Proud Spirit Horse Sanctuary. Her latest book is Hoofprints, More Stories from Proud Spirit. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Melanie a question about horses or horse-related issues, please call 813-239-9663, or you can email that question or comment to dj@wmnf.org. Well, you know, what we're just talking about, sort of, I had something in mind, and I maybe as well just sort of bring up. I mean, in reading your books, you're obviously quite sensitive. We've sort of even just touched on that now. And there's a certain kind of emotional, you know, vulnerability maybe that comes across. And let's face it, more than a few things seem to move you to tears. But seriously, how important or even crucial is that sort of sensitivity and emotional makeup to the very work that you do? I mean, is that part of the connection, really, that you first felt with Cody, but obviously continue to feel with all these horses that you provide this home for?
Yeah, but conversely, you also have to have a little bit of toughness. Because
yeah.
In rescue work, you see the worst of mankind, and
yeah.
you're dealing with a lot of emotional... so on one level... you've got to have a little bit of a toughness about you.
Mm-hmm.
And on another level, to help these horses heal and learn to trust again, you've got to be very in tune and gentle and sensitive. So it's a mixture.
Yeah.
Truly, it is.
Let's talk a little bit about that then, how horses wind up at Proud Spirit. I mean... Are most of them neglected, and how do you learn of them, and how do they wind up there?
All different ways. We've worked with law enforcement all across the country. We've taken in horses from as far away as Canada. Some are owner surrenders. Some we have purchased to get them out of a bad situation. Some horses are just simply no longer usable, and the families don't want to commit to them, offer them the retirement that they deserve, and so we've taken them in rather than the horse being sent to slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
All different situations.
Sure. And in terms of the neglected ones, I guess, you know, I have sort of a, you know, unfortunate, I guess, curiosity about... You know, sort of in those situations, what percentage of the neglected horses are neglected because their humans are, you know, sort of quote unquote bad people, versus they might be ignorant of certain things or hampered by outside circumstances, financial setbacks, etc. I mean, what does it kind of settle into any kind of categories over the years that you guys have been rescuing these horses?
Yeah, I think true blatant. Shocking, heinous abuse is actually pretty rare. Most of the neglect and even abuse, which could be categorized, is ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's primarily just people not bothering to educate themselves or thinking of animals as oh, how do you describe it? They're, an animal is an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of ignoring the fact that maybe they're not giving them enough quality hay or enough hay, period.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, have your reactions changed over the years when it comes to say, seeing a neglected horse? I mean, does it still hit you the same way, or do you feel like in some ways, like you said, you've sort of had to develop a bit of a toughness, and obviously you've developed, for better or worse, a lot of experience in this realm. Does it just hit you differently now?
Well, we're one of the longest existing privately run sanctuaries in the United States. The lifespan of doing rescue work is generally about 5 years, and people get burnt out.
Yeah.
And actually, the amount of time that we have been doing this is pretty extraordinary. It's very unusual.
Yeah, it's pushing 20 years, really.
Yeah. And I think I'm not so shocked by what humans will do anymore,
mm-hmm.
as sad as that sounds.
Sure.
I suppose that when I first got into this, I would just come away just, you know, holding my head and just in shock at what someone would do to an animal. And now I'm not so shocked.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's kind of sad.
It's kind of sad, but in your line of work, kind of necessary, too, to just to kind of get up, you know, the next day and keep going.
Yeah.
Again, I want to remind our listeners, this is Talking Animals. We're speaking with Melanie Bowles, co-founder of Proud Spirit Horse Sanctuary, which started off not too far from where we're talking to you, but now is in Mena, Arkansas. Her latest book is Hoofprints, More Stories from Proud Spirit. If you have a question for Melanie, 813-239-9663, if you'd like to speak to her on the phone, or you can email us a question at dj@wmnf.org. And we do have at least one email question I'd like to pass along. Someone writes in here, Melanie, do you foresee a day when racehorses will have the opportunity to be adopted out like greyhounds instead of destroyed?
Well, there are programs, there are organizations that are taking in these horses from the thoroughbred racing industry and adopting and taking them into a rescue situation and rehoming them. That is already going on. It's been going on for years, but the reality is that the thoroughbred racing industry absolutely these breeding farms are glutting the market with overbreeding, and these horses get sent off to slaughter by the thousands.
Yeah, well, that brings us to, I know you and I spoke briefly yesterday, so I know you have not, at least at that point, had a chance to watch the HBO Real Sports segment that aired for the first time on Monday night about racehorses being sent to slaughter. But, you know, I was alternately crying and almost vomiting in watching that segment. I mean, it's just a horrifying issue. Is it just the sheer glut of these horses that just, or is it just greed? Or I know you can sort of speak to the issue even if you haven't yet seen the HBO piece.
Well, I've been very, very conscientious about the thoroughbred racing industry for years.
Sure.
And what people don't realize is that this has been going on since the beginning of the history of the industry, ever since racing has been. The problem is, as I just previously mentioned, that they are overbreeding.
Yeah.
And the huge, huge issue is that they're running these horses too young.
Mm-hmm.
And they're running these horses as babies. They're, you know, recently in the spotlight was the young colt Barbaro. And you know, this horse was one in a million. He had the heart and the athleticism and the everything else to become a triple crown winner.
Mm-hmm.
But he was run too young. They literally ran him into the ground.
Yeah.
And but no one. It's a very complex issue. The trainers and owners profess to love these animals, but the duplicity of this is that they. Why don't they wait 2 years till the horses are 4 years old before they're training them like seasoned adults? I mean,
well, absolutely. And there's some calls here that I want to get on the air and speak to you. But that absolutely. I mean, in the wake of more recently than Barbara, of course, is Eight Bells' tragic death, and you know, so horse racing is really being discussed and debated in all sorts of circles and you know, many media outlets.
Was just a baby.
Yeah,
just a baby.
So you know, it's front and center right now. And of course, the Preakness is this Saturday. I mean, this may constitute kind of a rhetorical question, but I mean, what's your view of horse racing, or more to the point, is there a way to get them to hold off on racing these horses till they are older and their bones aren't as fragile.
There's no excuse for it except for greed. And
yeah.
until these owners and trainers admit that and you know, put this off for 2 years before they run them, what people don't realize is that Eight Bells and Barbaro, thousands, this happens at training facilities all across the country, but the injuries don't happen in the spotlight of the Preakness.
Yeah.
And there's no heroic efforts to save them, so people don't know about it.
Right.
But
well,
horses
that's...
are literally put down on the track from their bones breaking.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think, why in some ways Eight Bells got more of this kind of attention than Barbaro, because...
Yeah, it was so shocking.
Yeah, they're this beautiful horse is down and getting euthanized at that moment on the track. I mean, that's kind of hard to not seize your attention, so...
Right.
Okay, well, there's other things I want to address with you on that, Melanie, but we do have some callers holding. Let's see if we can get them involved in the conversation.
Sure.
Hi, you're on WNF on Talking Animals with Melanie Bowles.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, it's you.
Yeah, I just wanted to find out when the cutoff was buying the advance tickets for this weekend.
For Heat Wave, you can come by the station and still get those now. Hi, you're on WNF on Talking Animals with Melanie Bowles.
Greetings, it's Clay from Land O'Lakes. Listen, I very much am happy that you brought up the issue with the racing horses, but I have to argue that it's not a complex issue. She actually hit the nail on the head. It's all about greed. It's all about money. It's very expensive to raise a horse and train it, and they don't want to wait till they're 4 years old. They have too great of an investment. They're usually invested in three or four or five horses, you know, a farm or a trainer, and it's a hugely expensive process. And I think that what we need to do to address the situation is to actually make a law, just a simple law from Congress. You can't raise a horse before it's 4 years old, because we all know that their leg bones are not mature until they're four. They're green from 2 to 3 years old when they're starting to run them.
Okay, well, that I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Melanie, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, I think we're in complete agreement. You know, he's absolutely right. But the complexity comes when you're going to be dealing with these multi-million dollar owners and farms, and they're going to fight any kind of laws being made like that. That's where the complexity comes in. But yeah, in the great big picture, no, it's not very complex. Stop running them so young.
Right, but I think the how to get from that point A, which is where we are, to that point B is very difficult. As more than a few media discussions
right.
and others have pointed out, that one of the many problems or limitations with that in horse racing is that there's no sort of overall governing body or commission. Right? So all these tracks and all these states all kind of operate independently.
Well, there are commissions, but they're all, you know, they're all in the thoroughbred industry's pocket. So.
Right. So I just don't know how we push through that kind of legislation, but I
right.
guess we got to try, right? I mean, what else? Is there any ideas amongst horse people like yourself that really seem viable to implement these sort of changes?
Well, as tragic as it was, Eight Bells is probably going to be an impetus for some serious change.
Yeah.
And that will be her legacy, I think.
Sure. And to what extent do former racing horses, have they wound up at Proud Spirit over the years?
I'm sorry, how many do we have here?
Have they ended up at Proud Spirit over the years?
We've taken in numerous thoroughbreds, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, well, at least on that level, I mean, I guess the question that, as we're just sort of nearing the end of our time here, is, you know, what can horse lovers and or, you know, sort of others moved recently by the plight of racehorses and other horses in trouble do to help? And one thing, I guess, is to try to help places like Proud Spirit. I mean, you're obviously not getting admission fees because people don't really come to visit, and you're not getting adoption fees because you don't adopt out your horses. So do you rely strictly on donations for your to operate the sanctuary?
My husband and I have dedicated our entire retirement to this facility, and one of the best ways to help us is all my author royalties from my books go to the sanctuary, so we're really trying to push my books. That's a great way to help us, is to purchase The Horses of Proud Spirit or Hoofprints, more stories from Proud Spirit. And in the great big picture, I think, let me just quickly say, horse lovers and horse owners, one of the best things you can do for the entire equestrian community is to stop breeding, even your backyard breeding. We are not taking care of the horses that are already here. If you don't own horses or you just want to get involved in other ways, supporting rescues and sanctuaries, and trying to be aware of what is going on in these big issues like the thoroughbred racing industry, the BLM and wild Mustangs, the Tennessee walking horse industry,
so many other things. There's so many great things addressed. And your newest book is Hoofprints, More Stories from Proud Spirit. And the previous one is The Horses of Proud Spirit, which also some people locally and beyond may know was sort of the basis for an Emmy-winning PBS special that first aired locally right here at WEDU. And again, we also want to call attention, though, to the Sanctuary's website, horsesofproudspirit.com, because there's also, of course, ways to donate there to help Melanie and Jim and these nice horses. So I'm afraid we are out of time at this point, Melanie, but thank you so much for all your great work. Again, it's Proud Spirit Horse Sanctuary. horsesofproudspirit.com is the website. The newest book is Hoofprints, More Stories from Proud Spirit, as you mentioned. Any sales from that goes right into the horse's coffers, I guess, if you will. So, Melanie, thanks. There's so many other things I was hoping to get to, but again, the time just sort of zoomed by, and we got some nice callers there, and so hopefully we'll speak again sometime down the road.
I hope so. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right. Take care now.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF. Show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our MySpace. We're looking for some friends just like you. Make suggestions for future guests or topics and more. That's all found at talkinganimals.net. It's time right now, though, to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a Talking Animals baseball jersey, cool red sleeves, the whole nine yards, to the first person who calls in at 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this thematically relevant animal tune. It's Name That Animal Tune on WMNF.
Childhood living is easy to do. The things you wanted.
Hi, can you name that animal too?
Wild horses.
Okay, very good. What's your first name, sir?
Ken.
Ken?
Yep.
Okay, I'll come back and get your information in just a moment or two, but thank you. Congratulations. That's indeed right. Wild Horses, of course, Rolling Stones. Thanks for playing our game. And we just about reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals. And on WMNF, this program now airs twice a month, the first two Wednesdays of each month. So we'll be back again Wednesday, June 4th. I hope you'll join me then. June marks the show's five-year anniversary, not necessarily here at WMNF. We're a little newer here, but overall, since we launched the show. So we're going to cook up a couple of special offerings in June, including a conversation with Janine Garofalo. Meanwhile, please visit our website, talkinganimals.net, and while you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. Please stay tuned for NPR News, followed by Democracy Now! I'll be back at 4 p.m. today with the Sonic Detour, and returning Wednesday, June 4th on WMNF. We're going to close out today's show, as always, with an animal song. This, too, is horse-related. It's John Doe with There's a Black Horse right here on WMNF Tampa. See you next time.
There's a black horse in a photograph. His mane blows in your face. There's a black horse in a photograph. His mane blows in your face. Your eyes. Feathers. shadow of blackbirds, as men